Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born.
Thank you, ladies. Lisa?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? All right. Well, welcome to Mosaic Church tonight on this Christmas Eve. Tonight, what we like to do is something a little different than normal. It is a very traditional, even ancient service called Christmas Eve Scripture Lessons and Carols. And so we'll be hearing the scripture readings, of course, from God's Word, particularly in Matthew tonight, followed up with Christmas carols as well. I want to welcome our visitors tonight, as well as our friends from various churches as well. I know some folk from Cornerstone are here, Light of the Valley, and others. So welcome tonight as we worship Jesus together. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just are so glad to be in your house this evening, celebrating the Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. And we pray that Jesus would be born anew, as it were, in our hearts, and that we would recommit our lives anew to him. And may, Lord, as we enter into your word this evening, as we sing the carols, may we worship you in spirit and in truth, we pray. And we pray all this in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, saying, amen, amen.
First lesson tonight is from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit by which we call Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you an heir.
Please feel free to sing along with us.
His love
The second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, the first 17 verses. This is an account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Nashon, and the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amos, Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. After the deportation to Babylon, Zechariah was the father of Salathiel, Salathiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father of Abiud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Elthud, Elthud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, and Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations.
I had to get the retired Wesleyan pastor to do that one. That just been mean. Yeah, but that's how our Bible starts in the New Testament, isn't it? With a genealogy. And if you've studied the genealogy, oh, Jesus had all kinds of crazy people in his family, probably just like yours and mine. Well, we come to that point where we love to light the Advent wreath. That's a traditional thing. So I'm going to invite my wife to come, and this time I'll shut up and she'll do the reading.
Nice, thank you. We light the candle of peace on Christmas Eve to remind us that it is only with God and by following his path that true peace can be found. Jesus Christ brings that peace of God to us. He calls us to share peace he gives with one another. We light the candle of hope to remind us that God gives hope to all who accept his Son, Jesus, as Savior and Lord. And our hope in Jesus is a hope that will never disappoint us. God calls us to share the hope he gives us with one another. We light the candle of joy to remind us that God gives joy to every heart that abides in him. As Mary rejoiced in the birth of Jesus, so his birth in us brings us joy. God gives us to share the joy he gives us with one another. We light the candle of love to remind us that Jesus is God's gift of love to us all, and that in him, the light of love triumphs over the darkness. Love never fails. It transforms all of those who give it and receive it. God calls us to share his love with one another. You're so good at that. We light the Christ candle to remind us that the light of the world was born this night. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You, O Lord, have magnified the nations. You have increased its joy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is called Emmanuel, for in him God is with us. Nice. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have made us holy by the gift of your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and Mary. Upon him rested all your grace. Through him has come all your mercy. May his light shine within our hearts even more brightly than it shines from the candles in this place. Help us to hear your words and to celebrate your everlasting love through our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you your baby boy would give sight to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you've kissed your little baby, of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? Whoa. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will live.
Our scripture reading continues with Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found out that she was to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to the public disgrace he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit, is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "A virgin will be conceived and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which is God, is God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she had given birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears.
This is the fourth lesson, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this may be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
This is a story of a shepherd. It's been 2,000 years and more since angels got the call to guide the common shepherd men to a rude and lowly stall. The shepherds were a rowdy lot, distrusted to a man. This is the story of one of them. We'll call him Shepherd Dan. They would have traveled nighttime, not waiting for the dawn. The angel's proclamation would have hurried them along. Yet, shepherds had a job to do, a vow they always kept. When sheep need sleep and fodder, the shepherd's duty never slept. So I can just imagine this shepherd turning around to pen the sheep and keep them safe while others went to town. Shepherd Dan wouldn't tarry after caring for his sheep. He must have been so tired and cold, awakened from his sleep. And yet the wonder of the angels and their promise made Dan wild to get on down to Bethlehem and see the king, a child. So swiftly and so breathlessly, he scurried through the night, uphill, downhill, through rocks and brush, the bright star in his sight. All the time he worried for the sheep he left behind, but angel voices drew him on, and the star's light was his sign. Dan probably caught the others as they hurried through the town. The people there would clutch their bags, not trusting shepherds round. It must have hurt Dan's heart a bit to see them act this way. He'd never treated sheep this way when one would go astray. Did he falter just one moment when doubt was creeping in? Who was he to see the Savior? He hated by good men. Then he recalled the angel's words, the baby born for him, a Savior for shepherd and priest alike, not only for fine rich men. I can just see Dan's chin tilt up, intent upon his quest to see the child, the shepherd king with whom the world was blessed. And finally, oh so wonderful, Dan heard the baby's coo. With trembling hands and steady feet, the shepherds closer drew. The night was cold and frosty, but the cave was warm and dear, as cattle crowded round the child whose eyes were kind and clear. Joseph raised his hand in greeting, Mary beamed above her son, and Dan, whose eyes were blurred with tears, knelt and gazed upon the one. The baby in that rude cave the shepherd then became, to lead his flock and keep them well, Jesus was his name. And Shepherd Dan tended sheep and lived out all his days, and for the Savior Christ the Lord gave everlasting praise. Dan's story ends here. His life on earth is done, but he lives and serves in heaven now with his best friend, God's own son. If Dan could come and speak to us like angels did of old, he'd say to know the shepherd is a gift more precious than gold.
Thank you, Joan. Joan wrote that for us. Yeah. Well, this evening I want to share with you not a full normal Sunday message, but rather what they call in the ancient church a homily, a short thought about some of the words that we're hearing tonight, some of the great ideas. Tonight, if you celebrate it a little more traditionally, we're at the end of the Advent season journey. Christmas Eve has finally arrived. I think it's fair to say that many of us have heard these stories over and over again, and they seem rather familiar. Tonight we're reading through the entire Christmas story of Matthew with a little bit from Luke. We probably think we know them by like the back of our hands. Then we've got all the commercialization of the holiday, the energy spent in decorating, parties, food prep, gift purchasing, and all that. And no wonder so many of us find ourselves entirely exhausted by the whole thing. Over the years, you may have heard some things like this. I've heard people say things like, well, Christmas breaks up winter a little bit, and we certainly haven't had winter yet in the Bitterroot. It's coming. It's coming. Or I've heard people say something like this. You know, Christmas is really all about the children. Is that all that there is to Christmas? Sure, it's something to look forward to in the winter. And of course, kids absolutely love the holiday, but is that what it's really about? Is that the reason for the season? And how can we as adults truly experience a very Merry Christmas? We wish that to each other, but what would that look like? So tonight, permit me to borrow an idea from the great author and the apologist C.S. Lewis. And he said this, in his Chronicles of Narnia, said, let's suppose for a minute that you and I lived in a world where it was always winter and never Christmas. That would be fun, right? But that's in the first, is the second book, actually. Always winter and never Christmas. A place that's utterly devoid of all life, perpetually covered in an ever-increasing and clinically depressing thick crust of snow and ice. Could you bear to live in such a world as that? Wouldn't it be bleak and utterly hopeless, a place to live in? And so I've been thinking about a well-known passage from C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia that I think illustrates the meaning of the Christmas story, maybe in a little bit different way. And if you've never read this children's series, I strongly encourage you to do so. They say it's for kids, but it's very much for adults. I think they're a delight for all. His best-known book in that series is actually the second book, The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I'm doing this as a little teaser because our adult life group on Thursday nights in January will begin studying this book together. So I thought I'd do a little entree into that. The world, this is the situation, the world was under the dominion of the White Witch. This is a Satan figure. But Aslan, a Christ figure, was on the move. And in one of the scenes, memorable scenes, Lewis writes this, come on, cried Mr. Beaver, who was almost dancing with delight, come on and see. This is a nasty knock for the witch. It looks as if her power is already crumbling. As the snow was finally melting and flowers were springing up from the ground for the first time in a very, very long time. What do you mean, Mr. Beaver? Panted Peter as they all scrambled up the steep bank of the valley together. Didn't I tell you, answered Mr. Beaver, that she made it always winter and never Christmas? But Aslan is on the move. The witch's magic is weakening. Well, the birth of Jesus Christ into this world is nothing short of the most daring rescue mission ever attempted in history. God's own son, born as a baby, accompanied by the angelic host, which you could say was God's version of the Navy SEALs, I think, right? Why did God send his only son into the world? Because the world was under the control of the prince of darkness himself, Satan. Through our sin, through our disobedience, we sold ourselves into slavery to this dark prince. We confined ourselves to a world where it was always winter and never Christmas. That story is our story. But as we continue to hear Christmas stories in the Gospels tonight, right, let's remember that the gift of Jesus was God's express plan and purpose to rescue us from heavy and gloomy chains of that dark prince. Jesus would later say in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, now is the time for the judgment of this world. Now the prince of darkness will be driven out, because when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And we should be eternally grateful that this night and tomorrow morning isn't simply a break in sort of gloomy winter months or a time when the kids have a great time and are overwhelmed with gifts. It's much more than that, isn't it? Christmas Eve is a night of decision for each and every one of us here tonight. It's time to choose sides. Will you and I personally accept God's gift of Jesus Christ anew tonight, or will you choose to stay under the grip of Satan? That's what this night is about. Will you choose to live or remain in a bleak and hopeless state where it's always winter and never Christmas? Or will you change sides and follow the great Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ, in whose realm it's always Christmas and never winter? This is a choice you have tonight. So may you choose wisely, because as Lewis said, the witch's magic is fading and Aslan is on the move. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you once again for sending Jesus, your only begotten Son, into this world for our sins. And Lord, we receive Jesus anew into our hearts and lives, and we worship him tonight. We ask your continued blessing on this service time as we worship you, as we fellowship with one another, as we attend to your word and sing lovely Christmas carols. May Jesus be the reason for this season. And we pray all this in the name of the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, saying, Amen. Well, we do collect an offering. It is a church, right? But actually, there is a purpose behind this. Any offering that you offer tonight will go directly 110% into benevolence. Here at Mosaic Church, we have a very vigorous community benevolence program. May I share just one before we pray and take this evening's offering, giving back to the King Jesus? This time last year, we got to help a single mom whose husband left her with four kids. And she had been a Jehovah Witness, so she had never experienced Christmas because they don't celebrate Christmas. And we got to gift her some monies, and we actually had to teach her how to celebrate Christmas. You go out and you buy a tree, and then you buy your kids some presents, and then you have a special meal, and you give thanks to God. And we got to do that through benevolence monies that are taken tonight. So every penny you give tonight will go directly back into this community in benevolence for people in need. Amen. So let's pray. Father, as we take this offering, we do it in knowledge that you sent Jesus, your only son, into this world, a costly gift to you, Lord, and a costly gift to us. And so, Lord, as we take these monies, we pray that you would use them in the days ahead to reach people for Jesus in this valley, maybe a single mom, maybe somebody hurting, maybe a medical bill, whatever that may be, Lord, as you lead. And we just give you thanks for the opportunity. You say, Lord Jesus, in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I pray we know that truth tonight and in the days ahead. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, saying amen. And with that, I believe we are on our fifth lesson.
Fifth lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search for him carefully, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After that, they had heard the king. They went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Child is this who lay to rest on me? The sixth lesson, Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. The escape to Egypt. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so it was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
On Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and mild and sweet their songs repeat.
Lesson 7 is from Matthew 2:19-23. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene.
The eighth and final lesson for this evening. It comes from the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life with the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to those who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, Reverend Barry and Janie Bauer, who were retired missionaries to Germany and sang it in the original for us. Thank you. Let me pray and bless you this evening. Father in heaven, we just thank you for this time to celebrate the birth of Jesus, his advent into this world, for our salvation and our our goodness, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask you to continue to bless this evening as well as Christmas Day tomorrow. And we give you thanks and praise in the one born in Bethlehem, Jesus Christ. And so now may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May his countenance be lifted up to you and be gracious to you, giving you that peace that passes all understanding. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say,
amen.
Go in his peace. Merry Christmas.